Turn to Numbers chapter 21. Thank you for coming back. I appreciate the singing. I've enjoyed it tonight. I have looked at several times, if I'm counting right, this is the eighth message about hiding the truth. I won't read the text that I have been usually reading. I hope you remember in Matthew 27, Pilate put the stone on the door, had it sealed, had the soldiers placed around the tomb. And we see there the strategy of Satan for these last several messages. I've looked at the strategy of Satan. He attacks through our mind. He talks to us. And unfortunately, we listen all too often to what he says. And he does not want the truth to get out. Jesus was the truth. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he meant what he said. And the devil did all he could to keep the truth inside, but he failed. I don't know if he's failing quite as much with us as he did then. For so many times we listen to his lies instead of the truth of Jesus. In Numbers, we'll find out some things are going on. I've used several things. I'll mention them briefly. Satan tries to use deception and distraction and division in order to get his will, to keep us from getting the truth, but realize the truth. I want to look tonight at this song. Satan tries to use discouragement. Notice what it says beginning in verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people, listen, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread, the manna. It's amazing. God does miraculously and provides the manna, and they say, we're so tired of this stuff. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Look and live. And Moses made the serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. My heart's back on verse 4. The last part of the verse says, for the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I believe with all my heart in these days, one of the biggest tools the devil is using quite successfully is discouragement. It has the idea of losing courage. It literally means to de-spirit. Here's an illustration. It's like he sucks the breath out of you. To lose courage, to lose faith, to dishearten. It has the idea of reducing. I think you can understand those definitions if you know anything about discouragement. Could I say right off, anybody can get discouraged. Some of the greatest Christians of the Bible got discouraged. Job said, why died I not from the womb? Elijah said, oh Lord, take away my life. David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Jeremiah said, cursed be the day wherein I was born. There is that tendency, that possibility, that temptation. Did you hear the word? Temptation to be discouraged. But if we're not careful, it will control us. The discouragement we read about in this text not only got them down, it controlled them. Well, see, it affected the way they acted. Could look at these verses and realize this, even the reasons for discouragement. Why do we get discouraged? Well, let's look and see why they did and see if it can kind of compare with us. If you look in chapter 20, verse 18, it says there that Edom said unto them, "Thou shalt not pass by me." Remember, the people of Israel are traveling to the promised land. And as they're going through some neighboring territory, the king here, the leader said, "You ain't coming through my territory. You're not passing through here." And it got them discouraged. I say, one of the reasons was because of the time. It was taking longer to get where they were wanting to go than they thought it would. They thought, no doubt, they'll get to the promised land quickly and somewhat easily, but neither has become reality. It has not been easy. They've gone without water. They've gone without food. They've gone without rest. They have had a tough time and a long time in their estimation. So they have become discouraged because of the time. It's just, listen, it's taking longer for God to do what I thought He was going to do than I expected. Boy, when you're praying about something and perhaps at first you think God's really going to move, and perhaps maybe you see something where it seems like He is, but it doesn't happen. The answer doesn't come. That you desire so urgently doesn't happen. It's so easy to get discouraged. You expect it at first. You're excited. You anticipate it, but it doesn't happen. And just like these folks, sometimes our discouragement comes because of the time. It's taking longer than they expected. Look on in verse 20 of chapter 20. Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Edom didn't just say, "You ain't coming through my territory," but he attacked them. He came against them with a strong hand. I don't know what all that means. We aren't told, but I know this. It wasn't fun and it wasn't easy. And it was the last thing the people of Israel wanted or maybe even expected. So one of the reasons they got discouraged was because of the time. It was taking longer than what they thought to get where they wanted to go, to see what they desired take place. But not just the time, but the troubles. Here's this man attacking them, causing them problems. I got news for you. We are in a world full of problems. We are not excluded from anything. Just because I've got Christian on my back doesn't mean the devil's going to leave me alone. In fact, that's exactly what I'm preaching. He won't leave us alone. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be problems. There's going to be attacks from the enemy. We just will expect it. But those attacks, if we're not careful, can get us discouraged and disheartened and make us want to give up. They are discouraged because of the time. It's taken longer than they expected. Because of the troubles, they're being attacked. But look in verse 29. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. It's bad enough for them to be treated bad by Edom and attacked by Edom, but now one of the leaders that they love has passed away. God has called Aaron home, and the verse tells us they mourned for him 30 days. And it says here, in my mind at least, that they were discouraged not just because of the time and not just because of the troubles, but because of the tears. Something has happened to break their heart. And sometimes that takes place in our lives cuts deep. Oh, it's more than just taking longer for God to move than I expected. And it's more than just the devil's attacking me, but something has happened that has cut my heart out. And I want to tell you, when those things happen, it's quite easy to get discouraged. I don't know what the devil uses to try to discourage you, but I know this, he'll use something if he can. If it works, he's going to keep on using it, and I don't blame him. As long as it works, why change tools? Why change weapons? I have mentioned first the reasons. Could I mention secondly, not only the reasons, but the results? Well, how did these people handle this temptation for discouragement? How did these people handle the attack from the enemy? How did these people handle that was going on in their lives? In chapter 21, verse 5, notice what it says, "And the people spake against God." Well, we got trouble right there, I tell you that. The results, hey, hear me, listen. How did they handle discouragement? What did they do? What effect did it have? First, they complained. And they didn't just complain to man. They didn't just complain to the air. They didn't just gripe to themselves. They complained against God. Now, I'll tell you, they had a rough time. They went through some severe trials. Some heart-wrenching circumstances, but they still had no right to complain to God. God had allowed them to go through hardships. God had allowed those trials to come. God had allowed Edom to do what he did, but they still had no right to complain to God. But discouragement, if we ain't careful, will control our thinking and our actions. The results, they complained, and they complained to God. Notice in this verse again, "And the people spake against God and against Moses." The results, what did they do? How did they handle discouragement? How did they handle their circumstances? They not only were complaining, but they were criticizing. They complained to God, but they criticized Moses. They spake against God and against Moses and said, "Why in the world did you bring us out here to die? We'd have been better off in Egypt. Why didn't you leave us alone? What were you thinking about?" Listen to me. I jokingly said a little while ago, and when I get up in a bad mood, I'm finding it's because somebody else they're to blame. That's a joke. I was joking. If I get up grumpy, it's my fault. Thank you for not saying amen. I don't thank you for not saying amen very often. Most of the time, I'm begging you to say amen, but thank you for that one. They were complaining, they were criticizing, they complained to God and criticized to Moses. They were trying to find someone to blame. When you get discouraged, you're trying to find somebody to point your finger at. So if they hadn't done that, if they do different, if this wasn't what there's always someone to complain and try and latch out at. If we aren't careful, if we don't handle discouragement right, we'll complain to God and criticize everybody. Nobody's doing anything right. I don't like the way they did that. Don't like the way they said that. Why in the world did they do that? Why in the world did they? I mean, when we're discouraged, if we ain't careful, we've got to look it around. And I tell you what, you don't have to look far. And you don't have to look long to find something or someone you can rightly criticize, but it is still wrong to do it. You see what the devil's doing? He's trying to break me down. And when he breaks me down, I look around, and when my attitude's wrong, I start breaking others down, tearing them down, criticizing them. The results is they were complaining. they were criticizing, but also they were crippled. Look in verse 6, chapter 21. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Well, I'll just tell you right now, when we don't handle discouragement rightly, when we allow the devil to convince us of his lies, when we don't expose ourselves to the truth and believe the truth instead of the devil's lies, and we let ourselves get discouraged, we'll be likely to complain to God and criticize others. But in the process, we're crippling ourselves. God deals with the issue. He ain't going to let it go by. And God sent fiery serpents, and the people were bitten. Now, I tell you what, at the very least, they were crippled. You ever been bit by a snake? Me neither. You ever been bit by a poisonous snake? Me neither. But I know this. If a snake bites me, I am not going to act like nothing happened. It's going to have a negative effect on me, and it did them. And I don't know if they got sick or they got weak. I do know this, a lot of them died. So those I'm talking about, because they got discouraged and they didn't handle the discouragement rightly. That's the reason. And God deals with them. And in the process of God dealing with them, they're not helped. They're hurt. They're crippled. I tell you one thing. Discouragement will not help us, but it will hinder us. It will cripple us. Have you ever been discouraged? I'll tell you one thing. When you're discouraged or I'm discouraged, we ain't skipping around saying, "Ooh, I'm so happy. I just want to go out and serve the Lord. I want to go out and spread love." It binds you. It cripples you. You become a slave to it if you let it. And the devil knows that, and that's why he tries to use it. He's trying to use discouragement because he knows what to do to God's people, the best of God's people. Well, I have looked at the fact that they were discouraged, and now I'm looking at what happened. Look at verses 1 through 3. And they journeyed from the Mount of Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Well, Brother Albert sang it just a minute ago. The God of the mountain is still God in the valley. But when they were discouraged, they got discouraged because of the way, because of the way. Listen, God had been taking care of them quite sufficiently. And that's a light way to put it. All the way through the way so far from Egypt till now, God's been miraculously taking care of them. And now they're facing something that they haven't quite faced before. And all of a sudden they become discouraged because of the way. Listen to me. They forgot the God of yesterday. They forgot how God had taken care of them, getting them out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and where they were now. I'm talking about God had worked miracle after miracle after miracle just to keep them alive and get them there. But listen, discouragement made them forget God's ability. Did you hear what I said? Discouragement made them forget God's ability. When we give in to discouragement, we're doing the same thing. Instead of looking back and say, "I may be facing a tough time right now, but it ain't too tough for God. Hey, I may be in a valley now, but I was in a valley yesterday or the day before, and God saw me through it. And the God who saw me through yesterday's valley is going to see me through today's valley if I'll just trust Him and obey Him." They forgot God's ability. God is able, no matter what you're going through. but discouragement. The devil says, the devil don't want you to know that. He tries to hide that truth. And in our mind and our heart, we need to know God is able. It is tough. It is hard. I'm struggling. But God is able. God is able. God is able. He can. And He not only can, He will. He not only can, He not only will, but He is right now working to help me. My God has not forgotten me. He left me in the wilderness alone. Discouragement makes us forget God's ability. They overlooked the past and was forgetting about the fact that God hadn't failed them at all in the past, and He wasn't going to fail them in the present. They forgot God's ability. They forfeited God's assistance. Wonder what God could have done if they just trusted Him and not let the circumstances discourage them. If they hadn't let it make them complain and criticize and bellyache. If they hadn't let the circumstances discourage them, I wonder what God could have done. Wonder how He could have helped them. I tell you what, there's nothing like the grace of God helping the needy servant. When you cannot go on and He helps you go on. When you don't have a desire and He sticks that desire in there. When He gives you grace and you know it's Him. There's no telling what God could have done, but they didn't let Him do what He could have done because they let discouragement control them. They not only forgot God's ability, they forfeited God's assistance. The truth is, God does His best work when things are impossible. Amen. He does His best work when we can't do a thing about what we're facing. And I tell you, we got to trust Him. What did they do? They forgot God's ability. They forfeited God's assistance. They faced God's anger. Verse 6, God dealt with them. He sent fiery serpents, and He made sure that the serpents bit them. And many died, and it was a serious situation. They faced God's anger. I got news for us. God does understand, and He does care, and He does love us. I want to tell you something. When we let discouragement control us, it angers our Father. It not only breaks His heart, it angers Him. For it is us not trusting Him. It is us not obeying Him. It is us not letting Him control our lives. He is heartbroken. He is grieved, but He's also angered. I mean, listen, this is an act of anger. Not that He's out of control, but He's dealing with the situation. And I say something. Serpents biting these people and then many of them dying is a serious situation. But it wasn't God was out of control and threw a fit. They deserved what they were getting. I say God takes discouragement and us mishandling it very seriously. They forgot God's ability. They forfeited God's assistance. They faced God's anger. So I ask us this question and it'll be my last one. What's the remedy? What's the remedy? I have looked at the reasons and I have looked at the results. I'd sure like to find out the remedy. How in the world do I get help from this? Well, it says there that God told Moses what to do. He said, make a brass or a fiery serpent, a figure of a serpent, and put it on a pole. And anybody who comes and looks, they will live. That's the remedy. Could you understand? That's pointing toward Jesus and the cross. If you doubt, that's what Jesus said in John 3:14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That serpent on the pole was like a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. And they looked and lived. Well, Moses puts up the serpent and tells the sick and dying people, you look at that serpent and you'll live. So they heard what God said to do to deal with the problem they're in. They heard it, but could you understand with me? I say this reverently. I say this very carefully. Looking at a brass serpent on a pole to get healed from something that's about to kill you is almost ridiculous sounding. I mean, what good would it do? I'll tell you, it's obeying God's word. God said, if you want to live, look. So that first means whoever heard what Moses said that came from God had to believe what Moses said did come from God. And God was saying, here's how you get out of this problem. Faith. I promise you, anybody who looked, looked because they believed what Moses said. And they were looking, expecting, or at least hoping for some help. So this evening, we have to look. Sounds so simple. Sounds so simple. Some of you will just say, hurry and get through that so I can hear the next point. But you'll miss it. We look to the Lord by faith for the strength we need. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. You can't get over it. You can't defeat the devil. You can't win. You can't just shrug it off. The time of discouragement I'm talking about, we need the touch of God, and nothing less than that will help us. But there is a remedy. Look to Him by faith to give you the strength you do not have. That means faith. That means, listen, that means obeying. They were trusting what God said. Listen, talking about the remedy. They had to look, and they looked by faith because they heard and believed. But they also, listen, they did have to look. Somebody could say, and I know this didn't happen. If it happened, somebody really dumb. Somebody in the crowd says, you know what, I believe what Moses is saying. I really believe if I'd look at that serpent, I'd be healed, but I ain't going to look. No, I don't think anybody did that. Surely nobody's that dumb. I believe everybody who believed did look. But listen, believing by itself wasn't enough. They had to believe and look. They had to believe and do. Here's a word. We don't like it. They had to believe and obey. I'm going to tell you something. What I'm dealing with for 8 messages now is how the devil attacks our mind and how we need to quit listening to his lies and start believing in the Lord and the Word of God and the truth. But I want to just tell you right now, believing it only is not enough. There comes a time when we have to obey, do what God said. And there's times I don't want to. You know what I find out? Listen to me. When I'm discouraged, I don't want to. I want to stay in bed all day. I want to pull the covers up and pretend ain't nobody in the world. I want to just make it, hope it goes away somehow. When I'm discouraged, listen, it sucks your spirit out. It de-spirits you. It takes a desire out. And just because we don't want to doesn't give us an excuse to not do what God says. In fact, if we ever need to do what God said, it is when we don't want to. Just say, yes, sir, God, you're God, and I will. Don't want to. But I know I need to. I trust you. Whatever he says to do, do it. That's what Mary told the servants. Whatever he saith unto thee, do it. Listen to him. I'm saying the remedy is to look, that's faith, trust Him, believe Him, expect, but also obey. We'll never experience His help, but listen, until we do what He tells us to do. I'm talking about our thoughts. I'm talking about the devil's lies. I'm talking about our thinking, but our thoughts will never be right until our actions are right. We need to do what He tells us to do. I think that's what Jesus said. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You want to get over discouragement? You want to be happy? You want to be joyous? Okay, Jesus said you got to do what you know to do. What I've told you to do, do it. I say this often. God reserves His blessings for those who are faithful. And when we're not faithful, we cannot expect or complain about the lack of blessings. Proverbs 29:18, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Philippians 4:9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I have dealt an awful lot with our thinking, because that's where the battleground is. But there comes a time when it takes more than just thinking. We have to put our thoughts to action and do what we know is right and do what God has said. And the Bible says when they listened and they believed, they looked, obeyed, and they lived. Discouragement is a filthy varmint. It's one of the devil's best, most productive, most successful tools. And I am convinced in this day he's using it more than ever. Preachers I know are struggling because they're discouraged because of how things are going in the church world. Families I know are struggling and discouraged because of things that are happening with inside the household. Churches I know are discouraged and despondent because of the circumstances of today and defeated because of it. And it doesn't have to be happening. There's help to be had. Bottom line is, do you believe the truth? Are you obeying? Let's stand together. Thank you for listening.